What scares you? No bars on your cell phone? Spiders? Snakes? Crowds? Heights? Strangers? Or sickness? Fear is often a product of the unknown. What would happen if I... Is that stranger going to hurt me? Often fear goes away as we have positive experiences. I was afraid to ride a bike until I learned to ride a bike. I was afraid of my neighbor until I learned that my neighbor was nice. Now, a phobia is an intense fear reaction to a particular thing or situation. With a phobia, the fear is out of proportion to the potential danger. But to the person with the phobia, the danger feels real because the fear is so strong. Now, common phobias include, and please help me with pronunciations here, acrophobia, which is a fear of heights. Someone asked me if I was afraid of heights, and I said, no, I'm afraid of ground, that sudden stop at the bottom. Then there is the fear of flying, pteromerhonophobia. Who comes up with these words? How about claustrophobia, the fear of enclosed spaces? Entomophobia, the fear of insects. Ophidiophobia, the fear of snakes. Cynophobia, the fear of dogs. Astrophobia, the fear of storms. And one of my personal favorites, trypanophobia, which is a fear of needles.
Ouch!
Now, certain fears, there can be reasons to have fears or concerns or just to be afraid of something. I was probably about 10 or 11 at the time, and at our house we had a outdoor set of steps that went into our basement. One day I was headed down the stairs and my dad stopped me, and I happened to put my hand up on a board that was above the basement door. And after I got done talking with my dad, I happened to look over. Here's my hand. Right next to it is the biggest, hairiest, scariest spider that I ever saw. I screamed, I jumped back and fell up the stairs, and my dad laughed at me, of course. But from that day on, spiders and me have this thing going on. I stay away from them and they stay away from me. I also understand how even when we know that a fear is irrational, how strong it can be. As I mentioned earlier, I don't have a fear of heights, I have a fear of ground. But there was a time when I needed to do a little bit of repair work on my roof, climbed up the ladder, stepped on to the roof, and was instantly terrified. I knew it was an irrational fear, but all I really wanted to do was to curl up in a little fetal ball, yell at my kids to call the fire department to come get me off the roof. And somehow that day I pushed through that fear, did the little bit of repair work, got down off the roof on that ladder, shaking, white, scared, and have never been on a roof since. So some fears are real. Some phobias are very real, and learning to deal with them is something we have to do. Now, in 2019, there was a study done by Penn State University of people with generalized anxiety disorder. What the researchers discovered was that 91% of worries were false alarms, and of the remaining 9% of worries that did come true, outcome was better than expected about a third of the time. For about 1 in 4 participants, exactly 0 of their worries materialized. You know, perhaps God is smarter than people give him credit for. Remember what he said in Philippians 4, 6, and 7? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, this week in the 5x5 Bible reading guide our church has been following, we read several chapters out of the book of Proverbs. One of the themes we find in this book is the fear of the Lord. Indeed, what many scholars identify as the key verse of this book speaks of it. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Today I want to address what it means to fear the Lord and how it is actually beneficial to us. What does it mean to fear the Lord? The broad command to fear the Lord involves understanding several things about God, about who He is. One, God is loving and just. We must recognize that God is loving, merciful, and forgiving, but that He is also holy, just, and righteous. This means His justice and His holiness cause Him to judge sin. Why loving and just? Well, think with me of a time where you've been in a checkout lane and there's a child in front of you throwing a fit because he or she wants candy. I want candy, I want candy, I want you. And you're thinking, okay, parent, what are you going to do here? And often the parent will threaten the child. If you don't stop doing that, I'm going to spank you, or you know, whatever it may be. Does the child stop? Of course not. Because he knows the parent is loving, but he also knows the parent is not just. The parent's not going to follow through on whatever threatened punishment there is. So the child just keeps acting out because he knows there is no consequences or bad consequences to his action. Matter of fact, we know that most of the time that kid gets that piece of candy, which just reinforces their bad behavior. Isn't it interesting that in Hebrews 12:6 we read this, that the Lord disciplines the one He loves, and He chastens everyone He accepts as His son. God teaches us by His example and by His word that love and justice do go together. Two, we need to understand that the fear of the Lord can produce awe. Fearing the Lord means to be in awe of His holiness, to give Him complete reverence, and to honor Him as the God of great glory, majesty, purity, and power. When the psalmist reflected on God as Creator, he said this, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere Him. For He spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm." Psalm 33, verses 8 and 9. You think about it. When we realize that God speaks and it happens, that is awe-inspiring and something to be reverent of Him about. God is the ultimate one when it comes to Alexa, turn on the kitchen light. For God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Third, fear of the Lord can produce faith. True fear of the Lord causes believers to place their faith in trust in Him alone for salvation. We come to realize that there is no other name under heaven given among people whereby we must be saved, that God is the only one who has the ability and the power to truly save us from our sins. Four, we need to understand that God is angry about sin. To fear God involves recognizing that He is angry about sin. He loves the sinner, but He hates the sin. And that God has the power to punish those who stand arrogantly against Him and break His laws. Now, think about how we often deal with authority. How many of you drive like a speed limit is a speed suggestion? Now think what happens when you hear a siren and you see flashing lights. What's the first thing you do? The foot comes off the gas pedal and you look down at your speedometer to make sure you weren't going too fast. That recognition that it really isn't a suggestion, but it is a limit. Now, we put that in terms of a relationship with God. And we understand that the Bible teaches us that each of us must give an account of ourselves to God. Think about what Jesus said in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. He said this, "A time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned." So, with these four things in mind, let's go back and explore some of the scriptures and Proverbs that instruct us on the fear of the Lord. Let's go back to the verse we read at the beginning, Proverbs 1:7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." The truth is that as human beings, we are so proud. We think we know so much and that we are so powerful, and yet the irony of this is, think about the last time you tried to get a 2-year-old to quit throwing a temper tantrum. Wow. Have you been paying attention to the debates about the COVID crisis? Some say one thing, some say another. Even our experts can't seem to agree on just what is the best course in this situation. And you know, just once on a road trip, I would have loved to have gotten my children to agree on a restaurant to stop at for lunch. Just one time. Now, the fear of the Lord, the acceptance that God is smarter and stronger than we are, is the beginning of wisdom. Consider the lesson Job had to learn as he tried to school God as to why his suffering was unjust. When he goes through all these arguments between him and his friends, and he talks to God and says, "God, I just wished I had my day in court. I would set things right. I would show you how come that I'm unjustly suffering." When God does come to Job, here's the part of the conversation he has with his servant. Job 38, verses 2 through 4. God asks him, "Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you will answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand." And God continues to question Job about the wonders of creation and the ways in which God works among men. And in the end, Job makes this confession, Job 42, verses 2 through 6. "I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, 'Who's this that obscures my plans without knowledge?' Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, 'Listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you will answer me.' My ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." See, wisdom begins when we accept that God's ways are higher than our ways and that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. In Proverbs 2, we find that when we seek the Lord's wisdom, we come to understand the fear of the Lord. This results in us experiencing God's protection. Proverbs 2, verses 9 through 11. "Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you." When you fear the Lord, you are convinced that God is both loving and just, and that only by his grace can we stand in his presence. Now, you live as someone who knows that they will have to give an account to God for how they live, even for the words that you say. Now, the lie of Satan is that you can get away with it. When you fear God, you know that that is a lie. God says that you reap what you sow, and in the end, God will not be mocked. We're reminded of this in Galatians 6:8. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap everlasting life or eternal life. How many lives have been ruined because people have believed the lie that they can get away with it? How many marriages, how many homes have been broken because of unfaithfulness? How many careers have gone up in smoke because of a lack of integrity? Think for a moment of the example of Joseph in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis. Potiphar's wife, his master's wife, makes continual sexual advances toward him, but he feared the Lord, and this is the response he gave to her over and over and over again. Genesis 39, verses 9 and 10. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. Now Potiphar's wife ends up falsely accusing Joseph of attempting to rape her, and he ends up in prison. He did the right thing and ended up in a bad place. Sometimes that happens in this world. But if we fear God, we will trust God to make it right. See, if you stop there, that's a sad end to the story, but thankfully the story goes on. Let's hear what Scripture says about what happens after this. Genesis 39, verses 20 through 23. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care. And listen to this part. Because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Why? Because he feared the Lord. See, when we fear the Lord and honor him, he will honor us. Proverbs 3, verses 7 and 8 says this, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." Now, I don't want to sound crass here or uncaring or judgmental, but think about how different it would be in our society if people followed God's plan for human sexuality. There would be no unwanted pregnancies. There would be no abortions. Sexually transmitted diseases would not be an issue. Divorce rates would go down. Pornography wouldn't be an issue. Sexually related crimes would decrease if we would follow God's ways out of fear for him. But the human race is wise in its own eyes. As a whole, we don't fear the Lord. We don't shun evil. Therefore, we are unhealthy, poor, and unwise. Proverbs 16:6 states this, "Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided." Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. Now, Scripture is full of examples of how fearing God is a positive rather than a negative thing. Again, going back to the story of Joseph, in Genesis 42:18, Joseph wins his brother's trust when he declares he is a God-fearing man. It was because the midwives feared God that they obeyed him instead of the authorities by sparing the Hebrew babies, Exodus 1. Moses chose leaders to help him on the basis that they feared God and wouldn't take bribes, Exodus 18. Moses told the Hebrews that God met with them in a terrifying display of his power so that they would fear God and would not sin, Exodus 20. The Mosaic Law cites fear of God as a reason to treat the disabled and the elderly well, Leviticus 19. Unless you think this is only an Old Testament idea, note that Jesus states this stronger than anyone when he says in Matthew 10:28, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. The Apostle Paul, in his letter, second letter to the Corinthians, states that we are to complete holiness, to work out our holiness out of fear or respect for God. See, fearing God is good because it causes us to avoid evil and embrace what is good. Fearing God not only benefits us personally, but also is an avenue of blessing for our families and those around us. Proverbs 14, 26 and 27 reads, "Whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for their children it will be a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death." Our children learn more from our example than our words. When our children see us make decisions based on whether what we do and say pleases God, they will learn to model that. It becomes evident that God does work on behalf of those who stand strong in Him. Our children see it, those around us see it, and they too will come to fear the Lord. Many years ago, I heard Norm Winnig. He was an Iowa pastor who went to be with the Lord a number of years ago. But I was in a meeting in which he shared this story on how his faith was strengthened and how he came to believe in the biblical practice of tithing based on an experience he had with his father. He was standing with his father on the road that separated their field from the neighbor's field. A tornado was headed in their direction. I don't know why they were out on the road with a tornado coming, but they were. And Norm heard his father pray something like this: "Father God, you said that if I would honor you with my tithe, you would rebuke the devourer and that the fruits of my ground would not be destroyed. I humbly ask you, Father God, to honor your word." And then Norm saw an amazing thing happen. The tornado was coming through their neighbor's field, tearing up their neighbor's field, but when it got to that road that separated the neighbor's field from his father's land, the tornado lifted up, crossed over their property in the air, and when it cleared their property, it set down again on the other side of their land. That day, seeing how God honored his father's faith left an impression that caused Norm to live for and love God and serve God all of his days. You know, it's interesting to me that the book of Proverbs ends with a tribute to a wife of noble character. One of the last things found in this tribute is this in verse 30 of Proverbs 31. "Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." Why? Because her example builds a legacy that is carried on in her children and is a witness to her community. Friends, let us be people who fear the Lord. Let us live out our faith in who He is every day through the choices we make, the words we say, and the attitudes of our hearts. As we live in the fear of the Lord, we are building a place of safety for our families and making our communities better by promoting what is good and right in God's sight. Let us pray. Father, I thank you that you love us so much that you discipline us, that because of our sinful nature, we need that check and balance. We know that you're going to love us no matter what, that nothing can separate us from your love. But we also need that reminder that you are the one to whom we must answer to. In this day in which it seems that everyone is doing right in their own eyes, Lord, help us as people who claim to be your children, who profess to be your children to the world around us, may they see us being like you, fearing evil, honoring that which is good, showing love, showing justice to those around us. Lord, in these days it is so hard. There are so many things to fear. But Lord, help us to understand that because of who you are, because of what you can do, because you are smarter than we are, because you are stronger than we are, that when we trust you, you will bring about what is good in our lives. Lord, thank you for this. Help us to live for you every day and draw closer to you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I would encourage you to trust in God's truth. Trust that the fear of the Lord adds length to life. Trust that whoever fears the Lord walks uprightly. Trust that the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Trust that whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge. Fear the Lord, trust in him, live for him every day. God bless you.